Good afternoon, Muskegon. You know what time it is. It is November the 8th, 2024. Hi, I'm Gregory T. Roberts, and to my left is
Melvin Burns II.
Melvin Burns is one of the twins, and welcome to the show, Torn Into Your Show for news, information, and more. And we just want to thank you for listening and watching. The show is brought to you by Bishop Custom Series and Entertainment. For all your entertainment and other needs, see the Bishop. We'll get that number on so you can contact him. We also want to let you know, if you would like to be a sponsor like Bishop Custom Series and Entertainment, please call Janae at area code 231-727-5007. That's once again 231-727-5007. You know, this is just not a local show. This is an international show that goes around the world. Mm-hmm. And so this is a chance that you can get your name brand out there, because it's all about marketing.
Mm. Yes, it
is. And speaking of marketing, I want everybody to go to Facebook. And you can watch this on all our social media on WVS 103.7 The Beat or M106, Facebook, Twitter, you name it. We are there, and YouTube as well. My brother, what's that weather looking out like?
That? Well, today is a beautiful early November day. We had a low of 42 and a sunny high of 55 today. Tomorrow, cloudy, low 37, high 55. Sunday, 50% chance of rain, low 46, high 58. Monday, cloudy again, Veterans Day, low 42, high 54. Next Tuesday, sunny again, low 36, high 50. Wednesday, low 38, high 53. And then next Thursday, 30% chance of rain, low 44, high of 53.
If you are watching or listening, that means that you survived Election Day. Can we say this and make this perfectly clear? You will survive. Yeah. Can we just say that? I know a lot of people are hurt out there, but you will make it. You know, just everybody take a deep breath and calm down. With that said, we have a special guest. We're going to go back to our normal format. We're going to have Mr. Ronald Jenkins on first, and then we're going to talk a little bit of politics with Mr. John Covington the second half of the show. And then we just want you to be engaged and involved. Before we get Mr. Jenkins in, why don't you give a thanks for our veterans.
Oh gosh, yes. Well, you know, my dad and both his brother, all three of his brothers were veterans. I want to thank him. I want to thank all of our family and friends and those we don't even know who've served this country. We appreciate you. We hope that we set aside this day money that you're acknowledged, that you're recognized and thanked for your service.
Thank you. With that said, let's bring to the stage, I pray that he's ready, Mr. Ronald Jenkins. How you doing, sir?
Hey, how you guys doing? Doing great. How about you guys?
Look at, man, you're so bright. You got that sun just beaming you. Angelical.
That's just the outside looking in, man. The outside looking in. That's all it is.
Talk to us. You know, you've been busy, and there have been a lot of things going on. But you are doing at an event, and let's talk about that event first, and then I want to get your opinion on the three proposals that passed in Muskegon Heights.
Okay, sounds good. Well, I mean, first thing that we have our event that we're doing, Lake Hawks and Flight Foundation is presenting 103.7 The Beat. We're doing a brunch, and also we're going to be doing a elegant night with the jazz band, blues band, at our Lake Hawks Community Center on November 30th. Both one, the brunch starting at 11 o'clock, and then the Night of Elegance is going to start at 6 p.m., 6 to 10. And then we're going to also be utilizing and showcasing the community center, both the art area and also our cutters, which is, you know, somewhat of our cigar lounge. So we're going to be showing a lot of different things that's happening around our town. But the biggest thing that we're doing is opening the doors for what 103.7, what PA and 103.7 of the beat workers, the administration has been doing for years. And that's opening door for our young people going to Ghana. So it's a fundraiser to help kick off some things that you guys are doing at the radio station, and us giving back to our community. So we want everybody, families, you know, coming out for the brunch. And then in the evening, even like Mr. Burns, his age is 30 and over, you know, so, you know, you know, events where people can come out and really just enjoy a good night of elegance and entertainment with the band Funkits featuring Big Daddy Fox and friends. So, you know, we're going to be having a wonderful time there. It's also being able to showcase a little bit downtown Muskegon Heights, what it's going to be looking like here in the near future, things that's happening, the positive things that's happening, and give adults something to do. But again, the biggest focus is our fundraising event to help kick off our 2025 fundraising event for our kids going to Ghana, something that PA takes very, very, very to heart. So I'm just excited to be a part of trying to do something from the Lake Hawks and Flight Foundation side of it.
We really appreciate your thought. What gave you the idea to come up with this project?
Well, I'm always thinking about community. I'm always thinking about our young people. And every year, I mean, we're always doing, trying to support that particular event. But our biggest thing was we wanted to do something to showcase and let PA know how much we appreciate all the things that he does in our community. And then all of a sudden, you know, while we were planning it, all of a sudden, you know, he got honored down in Florida. He got honored over here. I'm like, man, every time we think about doing something, somebody else does it before we do it. So right. This time we say, you know what, we just want to do a whole entertainment and just really thank the entire 103.7 The Beat along with PA. Just thank everybody because, man, you guys work. I mean, we look at what PA does. But from a leadership position, we also understand we're only as good as those that are behind us and those that work beside us day to day. So even like yourself, Rick Roberts, I mean, what Burns are doing right now, it enhances what 103.7 does. So it's our time to give back to our community.
How important, I mean, to you personally, is that trip for those kids to go back to Africa?
I think the trip personally is probably one. Well, talking to some of the young people, let me just say that. Talking to some of the young people that have went in the past and seeing and hearing their experiences have changed their whole mindset. So like when I went to college and when I started going to Michigan State University, and I'm still thankful to people like Mr. Royan, those types of people who stood behind me, you know, those are the people who made sure that when I wanted to go to college and I wanted to get away, they made sure I had avenues to get there. So when I'm looking at what these people are doing and what PA is doing, these young people will always remember that. And they look at their heritage, they look at their backgrounds, they look at where, you know, people of color have come from. I think it's just a great event for them.
You brought up something, you brought up some big names there, people that were in our lives. I want to talk to this, and the next question is going to go to Pastor Melvin. You know, too often we wait to give people their flowers. How important is it to address people and recognize them while they're alive?
Is that for me or Mr. Burns?
That's for you.
Well, you know what? It's an honor. Like I said, no matter what we are doing, I mean, the scriptures tells us to do the same thing. And so often we find out, you know, the most of the people are not recognized in their own hometown. I mean, where you see how PA is honored, you know, he's recognized all over the place. And it just does me wonders, you know, to be able to say, and our administration saying to Paul and to saying to you guys, how important, like Mr. Western and Miss Western, you know, I remember, I mean, they drove me to Michigan State University, put food in my refrigerator, made sure. And I was a freshman in high school when I started going to college, going to Michigan State University. So that's something that I remember. But honoring them even to this day makes me feel good, because you just don't get that honor in your own hometown. As much as Mr. Burns work, as much as you work, as much as PA work, and so on and so on, it seems like we get torn down, as your radio state, torn into pieces. I mean, we get torn down more than we're built up. You know, mm-hmm. So again, it's just that opportunity to give back and say thank you.
I'm asking this, and we're going to switch to political. Do you think, you know, you and I are all of us here, we could say names of people that, like some of the names you mentioned, who have just supported us, encouraged us, probably stories we couldn't even tell, probably without getting teary-eyed. But do you think mm-hmm. we're doing a good enough job of preparing the next generation? No, we're elders now. Are we doing enough to prepare the next generation to step in those roles?
The answer, my answer is probably no. And I want it to be yes, but the answer would probably be no, because I think there's so much more that we can do. Mm-hmm. There's so many more things that and examples and steps and stones that we can step over to get to where we need to be. Mm-hmm. But I think that we are putting the effort. Many of us are putting for the effort. So with that being said, I can turn around and say, Mr. Burns, in certain aspects, yes. Because we're trying. Yes. We're trying, and at least we can get, you know, an A for effort for trying versus not doing anything at all. So, but I think we're so far away from, like you guys talked about the politics. We just talked about this election. We're so far away from really doing the best thing on behalf of our communities and on the better side of our youth. We're so far torn of making the right choices and the right decisions.
Mr. Jenkins, how important is it to you, and I'm sitting back here thinking, that, you know, we stop waiting for somebody to take care of us, and we as a community recognize and take care of our own community?
Well, you get up every day and go to work. Burns get up every day and go to work until you guys both had an opportunity to retire. Then you came back into this limelight and said, this is what we have to do. And it's the same thing now. It is the same thing now. Until we take to heart that we're not waiting for someone else to change our city, to change our minds, to change our young people, until mm-hmm. we get to that point, we're not going to see the best benefits. I mean, like you said, I mean, I'm always going back to scripture. I mean, when it goes back, I mean, the race ain't given to the swift or the strong, but the one that endured to the end. You know, you go back until the part where you talk about the rabbit and you talk about the turtle. You know, at the end of the day, everybody takes strides. Everybody's taking strides. Everybody's taking opportunity. We beat each other down the more that we're trying to make the right decision and do the right things, than we are saying, let me help him or let me help her be better than where she's at. So I think it's just important that we take more time out and look at what can we do to help each other manage and make decisions and make things better than what we are right now. I mean, it's just so important that we recognize, as you stated, recognize that we ourselves make tough decisions, chances, choices, because me, a person who wants to gamble in life was probably the ones that's probably going to do a little bit more than the average person because they're not afraid.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you another question. I know you're limited on time. You know, the election just came. We just finished with the election and stuff. You just answered a question about community and recognize. How do we address this thing where, history-wise, that our young people know what the elders or older people did to make sure where they're at locally. I'm not talking about nationally. I'm talking about local people.
Well, number one, we have to get our kids engaged. And one of the things that we keep talking about, a lot of time we keep talking at our young people. We don't talk with them. I mean, we're talking at them. We don't engage them and ask them to be a part of things that we are doing in order to get their attention. We first got to draw their attention. And I don't think we're doing very much to gain their attention in order to have these types of conversation with them. You know, we want to talk about me, and it's good to talk about Martin Luther King. It's good to talk about Malcolm X. It's good to talk about those things. But we also have the Robert A. Warrens. We have the Melvin Burns. We have the Mr. Burns. We have those people, but yet we still have the Paul Allens. We have the Greg Roberts. We have those people right now, just to name a few. You know, we have the Judge Pittmans. We have those people who are now serving our community that our young people can witness, they can actually see and recognize. And then we refer them back to, like, these are the steps that some of these other people took to get to where they are now. Where will you be at in the next 5 years? Where will you be in the next 10 years? What do you see? And then before we start talking again, we stop and allow them to be able to speak. That way we can entertain their conversation. A lot of times we ask them the question, the first thing we do is start talking. We never gave them the time to speak and tell us what they're really thinking. So I think the more things that we do in our community to engage and have our young people's input, a lot of these gun violence, a lot of these things that's going on right now, that's one of the things that the Lake Huntington Flight Foundation is doing. We're trying to now engage those young people that are involved in these events, that's involved in these activities. We're bringing them to the table. And we're going to start listening and hearing from them so that we can say, okay, how can we help change the trajectory of what's happening? How can we change what's happening in history so that you guys can have longevity? You guys can live longer. Because right now we're seeing the longevity of our youth is 25, 26, 27 years old.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Too many times we're talking at, are talking down to them, but we're not listening. We're not listening at all.
That's okay. Well, say, Mr. Jenkins, but one of the other ways you serve our community as a city councilman in the city of Muskegon Heights. Mm-hmm. We recently, on Tuesday, there were three ballot issues that passed overwhelmingly in the city of Muskegon Heights. I just kind of want to have you maybe talk about those, give some insight, or maybe whatever you want to share. We'll kind of go through them one by one. The first proposal, I don't know the order they were on the ballot, but there was one. If a council person chooses to run for mayor, that they would in effect give up their seat to run for that position. Again, it passed overwhelmingly. What were your thoughts on that that issue?
I think that was a great proposal to finally go into fruition for the city of Muskegon Heights. And reason why I'm saying that, we've watched over the years the frustration, the battle, the internal fights that have happened in our city council and amongst our city council. And I'm just being frank. And one of the things that I've noticed over the years is that whenever someone is running, unfortunately, if a person does not win, they come back. And now they're against the person who won. Mm-hmm. So you have those individuals battling against each other because your policy and your way of thinking wasn't the way that I was thinking. And then on top of it, you degraded me, or your people who were supporting you were degrading me and putting me down while you were running for this part of the election. So now why should I be here and support you and support anything that you say? Because now I don't like you as a person. Mm-hmm. So that has been an inner fight amongst our people in the city of Muskegon Heights for years. Now, whether I'm right or wrong, that's my viewpoint of it, because I've seen it.
Uh-oh. This is Jenkins. We lost him for a little bit. We'll try to get him back on the show. It's live radio and video. So It's live, so we keep on going.
Live things happen. Again, as we were talking to Ron Jenkins, who's a councilman in the city of Muskegon Heights, and the city had three ballot proposals. One proposal, as we were discussing, requires a candidate. They're four-year terms, and it requires a candidate to basically resign their seat on council if they're going to run for mayor. And so, again, the issue, what has been in the past is you ran, you still had two more years left on your term, and it just didn't always make for a smooth running on council if you lost, stayed on the seat. And so the public overwhelmingly supported that change.
We have Mr. Jenkins. Let's get him back on the screen here.
Okay.
Hey, you're back with us, sir.
Yeah. So I was saying, so personally, that's, I've had an opportunity to see those things, the inner fighting and the disagreements. And sometimes they're minor. But because you have been hurt, you've been damaged from the political fights of things, it's harder to get along. And it's harder for some to forgive, forget, and move on than others. But because of that, like I said, you can serve and you can run. And if you don't win, you got the mayor, the current mayor over here, you got a city council person over here, and they just don't see eye to eye. And it's unfortunate that it's happened over the years. But we're just praying and now since things are better, we're hoping that things are going to get better for our city.
You may have a first user person with the comment said it's been happening for decades, and that's right.
Yeah, it has. It has. And I'm glad that it's on the ballot now that is no longer going to be that way. Like you said, it was voted overwhelmingly to change that. And again, that's a start to changing the future for the city of Muskegon Heights.
Yeah. The other proposal was for just slip my mind that quick. Term limits. I believe it was 16 years. After 16 years, you cannot run for council again.
And I think that's a great idea as well. I mean, at the end of the day, we see Congress have that unlimited lifetime to just be someplace. Mm-hmm. And again, I think in our culture right now, being able to adjust with time and adjust to different policies and procedures and different laws, understandings, and just different age groups. I think it's important that as time go, we learn how to pass the torch on. And I think after 12 or 16 years of service to your community, number one, the community should honor you because you have been there so long and you've dedicated your time away from your family, away from your friends, away from vacation that you may want to take and things that you might want to do to putting that time into your city and into your community. So I think it's a win-win from both sides if you look at it in a positive way. It's not taking anything away from anybody. It is to enhance what we should be and what we could be doing in our city, again, to change and to bring bright light back to the city of Muskegon Heights. Because we definitely need it. And that freshness, that newness, and again, passing that torch is what it's all about. We should be teaching our young people about politics. We should be teaching our young people about leadership and community positions. Right. But we have not been doing that in a long time. We used to do it in school all the time. And school have gone away from it, but community and family should not go away from that.
And you know, you're so right. And you know, I thought I saw Bigfoot in Muskegon Heights because I saw yellow cones, construction cones. But progress and work has been being done and accomplished as we speak. The third proposal was, and
if people don't know, there are different categories of marijuana license. There's a different license for grow depending on the number of plants you have. There's a retail license. There's a license if you want to have a smoking lounge, sort of several different categories. And what the proposal basically, in each of those categories, the city had been limiting the number of licenses that were available in different categories. The proposal that passed says that there are no limits on the number of licenses that the city can issue.
Well, I'm going to be very careful about speaking on this, but I'll be frank and honest. As an individual, it's to each his own what they do and how they do it. I mean, and I know marijuana is now legal, and it's a business. However, I think in a city as small as ours, and in a city that is not prospering the way that we should, whether it's by the business or by residentials, I think that's the focus that we should be focused on. Mm-hmm. Bringing more businesses and bringing more families and residential back into our city than we are, whether it's marijuana growth facilities or whether it's liquor licenses, liquor stores, or whatever the case is. I just believe that our focus should be revenue building and bringing businesses, our families, building more homes. Those types of things should be our focus, and not so much on how many and unlimited marijuana and plants to grow. That's just me, our young people right now. I mean, even if I could say, I mean, from my sports avenue, I got more young people that are in sports, and their mindsets is more about, hey, I want to go smoke this marijuana, than it is I can take this opportunity to live out my dream. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, it's a, like I say, it's a give and take. And I'm not knocking anybody or anything or anybody money or opportunity to provide or opportunity to create a business structure. That's not what I'm doing at all. Not whatsoever. Personally, I just think that our focus in our city and inside Muskegon Heights, we should be focusing on revenue and how we can build more houses and get our families and our school system back up to play. And for us to vote, like you said, overwhelmingly about marijuana facilities, but we can't get that same outpouring in our schools, our same outpouring to get our kids back in our school system, our teachers and hiring new teachers, credible teachers back in our school systems. I think these are our priorities as leaders, as family members, as whomever. I think our priorities are just, we're backwards. And again, that's just my personal opinion. It's not to knock anybody, anything. That's just my personal opinion.
All right. Listen, give us again the event that's happening on the 30th, the details, where they can get tickets. Go ahead.
All right. So again, November 30th, on November 30th, the Lakehawks in Flight Foundation, the Lakehawks is going to be presenting event for 103.7 The Beat fundraiser, where we're going to be raising funds to get a kickstart for the 2025 free kids trip to Ghana. We're going to start that day with a brunch, and that's for a family environment. You can, that's from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. on November 30th. The brunch tickets are $40. And then in the evening, you got an evening of elegance, where you're going to have dinner and you're going to have live music on the band featuring, the Funkettes, featuring, Big Daddy Fox and friends. So it's going to be a great time, great night, great atmosphere for everybody. Those tickets are $65. I'm sorry, which again, including dinner. And also understanding that we are doing a table of eight, which is $500. A table of four is $250. So I'm hoping that local businesses that have been a blessing, that PA 103.7 The Beat have been a blessing to, will partake of this. Mr. Burns, our city council, I'm hoping that we take a part of it as well, that we'd be a blessing to what we're trying to do as a people, to continue to be a blessing to our young people and giving them opportunities. Again, it's bigger than just us as an organization trying to do it. We're trying to look at it as focusing on our kids. Again, it's November 30th. It's an all day thing. If you don't can't make it in the evening, come to the brunch, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. If you can make it in the evening, come on out, Night of Elegance. We're going to show the entire building out to our public, to our people. You'll be able to get into the art room, see what Joy Williams is doing in the art room, the different things that we teach kids there. You'll get a chance to see what's happening in the Elegance and how the things are set. We're getting a lot of pictures and things that PA has done over the years, the places the kids have gone. You'll be able to see that on the projector screen. You'll see all that. And then you also get a chance to see Cutters for those that want to just sit back from 10 to 12 p.m., 10 to 12 a.m. You'll get a chance to sit back and talk business and have a cigar. So it's just we just really want to encourage you guys to come out and support.
All right, Mr. Jenkins, on behalf of the staff and PA, of course, we want to thank you for acknowledging us. We really appreciate it. We'll get you back on because we didn't get an update on the Lake Hawks and the Flight Foundation. Thank you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, sir.
All right, you guys take care. Have a blessed weekend.
All right, you too. That was Mr. Ronald Jenkins. And I think we want to, you know, thank him from the heart that he's taking this opportunity to recognize PA and the staff here that work really hard to make sure that you are informed. Listen, we're going to take a break, pay the bills. We'll be back with Mr. John Covington. You are watching or listening to Torn in Two on 103.7 The Beat or M106. See you in a second. Welcome back to Torn to Two on 103.7 The Beat and M106, YouTube, and all Facebook, everywhere. As you know, Tuesday was Election Day, and you know what? We have to do kind of a wrap-up of what happened Tuesday, and then, you know, we're just going to get back to business, as we can say that.
Yes.
I am so proud to bring back one of the founders. You know, him and I were right next to each other doing politics a long time ago. Him and I have been friends for many years as with Mr. Burns. He does a lot with the community, including Big Brothers, Big Sisters, you name it. And we got a special announcement that's going to come out maybe, I don't know, today or not. But welcome to the stage, Mr. John Covington.
So good to see you both. How's it going?
How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing fantastic.
Hey, JC.
I'm doing fantastic.
To your interview with PA Tuesday, it was excellent. It's now that we had a chance, and now we know who has been the victor. I want to get your input in your, now we get to play Monday morning quarterback.
Yeah.
About what happened and where did we go from here?
Well, what happened was, as it relates to the presidential election, first of all, if you heard the interview Tuesday, PA asked me, did I see any surprises locally? And I said to that, no, I do not locally. And I'm sure he was talking about a couple of races in particular. And I said, no, I don't see any surprises there. But as it relates to the presidential election, there is something called the Bradley effect. And there's another name for it as well. And basically what the Bradley effect is, Tom Brady, who was an extremely popular mayor in the second largest city in the country, was running against a basic unknown, if you will, for the governorship of California. Mm-hmm. And went to bed that night. The next morning, this guy had beaten Tom Bradley.
Yep.
So it's an entire thing. You can Google it, you can research it, and they call it the Bradley effect. Now, the Bradley effect has happened many times throughout history, where you had an extremely popular individual who was of color, who did not win an election that polls stated they were going to be close to winning or that they were going to win. Now, some people felt like the Bradley effect was no longer an issue because there was a black guy who was elected to president to the presidency twice. So they said, well, there must not be any such thing as a Bradley effect. And let me explain a little bit what the Bradley effect is. The Bradley effect essentially is people who take polls and people who are interviewed for fear of being considered a racist or based on how they feel internally, they may believe that the one person is a better candidate. However, that thing inside of them won't let them in the old days pull the trigger
right.
that particular yeah. individual. But when they are polled, they in fact say they're going to do what their subconscious believes is the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately they don't do it. That's called the Bradley effect. And I can't think of what the other term it's called, mm-hmm. Melvin, but there's another term for
it. I like to call it the peekaboo effect. I don't yeah. want you to know how I'm going to vote. I'm just going to yeah. have this outward appearance of what I'm going to do, but I'm going to do differently.
Well, the whole thing with the poll thing is it's really about an internal feeling. It's mm-hmm. really about who they feel they really should vote for.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they answer the question. But when it comes down to the actual action, they do something different. Keep in mind, most polling in other elections
mm-hmm.
was pretty accurate, was it not?
Yes.
In other races, most of the polling was pretty accurate. Let's take the guy down in North Carolina. What is mm-hmm. it, Mark Robinson?
Yep.
They said Mark Robinson, according to all the polls, Mark Robinson was going to get beat by double figures, by double digits. They said yeah. he's going to get beat by double digits. He got beat by double digits.
Mm-hmm.
There are other races that the pollsters poll people on. All around the country, guess what? Those other races are pretty close to the polling. Most of those races are pretty close to the polling. Well, mm-hmm. how is it that this one particular race wasn't as close? Now, I did say, in talking to PA, I said often elections, the polling might say one thing, often they break left or right. They break one way or the other when it comes down to election day. Thank you. Somebody said Wilder effect. Thank you okay. very much. I couldn't think of the name, and that's from uh-huh. Governor. I believe that's from, is that Governor Wilder?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
After? And yes. Melvin, maybe you could speak to that because that was what, Virginia?
Yes, that was Virginia.
Yeah. Yeah. And so this one race where some of the polling is off, but all the other races, the polling is pretty accurate. That's what I believe took place.
Yeah.
And I've talked to several men, both, I'm not sure why that's going off in the background like that from the move of my hands, but I've talked to several men over the years in my decades of talking to people, both black and white, who said they would never under any circumstances vote for a woman to become president yeah. of the United States. Yeah. You add that, and it just is what it is. You add color to that equation.
Mm-hmm.
I said at 1095 Sophia Street, Sophia and Isabella, downtown Muskegon, before Kamala Harris entered the race, when we were having a conversation with my cousins, and I remember Linda McKinley was there. McKinley's not her last name now, but anyway, mm-hmm. they brought up Kamala, and I said it won't happen. I said it will not happen. That's what I said before she entered the race. The black guy that was elected back in 2008 twice, I said that was a bridge too far
mm-hmm.
for many people.
Question.
Yeah. Some people do answer the polls honestly.
That's the questions for our viewers is, do people really answer polls honestly?
Yeah, some people do.
I would know because I don't want you to know my real vote.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't know what difference it makes. So it's not like there's a name I attached to it. Some people do answer polls. If you look at the polls in other races, if you look at the polls in other races, polls have often been pretty close to being accurate. Am I right or wrong?
You're correct. They are.
They are pretty accurate. Mm-hmm. I took a statistics class, which anybody who's had it, God bless you. It's one of those. but you learn about polling and sampling and all those things. It's a science, and it's pretty accurate.
Yes.
And so, yeah, polls do oftentimes paint the picture. But when you add someone of color and you add a woman to that equation, who knows what you get? Personally, I would never say in an interview, I don't believe that she's going to be elected, or I'm going to answer that. No, no, no. I'm not going to say any of that. I'll say it after the election that that's not what I believe would happen. But of course, I wouldn't dare say that. That would be inappropriate to say that. But I did not believe that she would be elected to become president.
John, I have a question. Now, they said a lot of people saying it's about the economy, stupid. But I want to ask this question and get it out there. And you talked a little bit about it. There was some after polling, some people that said, and even some polling, even today, that people, Hispanic, Black, minorities, said that culturally, the man is supposed to be the head of the house. And although she could be a president, I can't vote for a woman. I can't, and I can't vote for a Black woman to be president.
Mm-mm. Yeah, no, that's exactly what I was just saying a few minutes ago. For us to act as if sexism and racism is not a part of the fabric of society, it would just be foolish and artificial, fake, and there's no reason for it. It exists, right? And unfortunately, I don't see that going anywhere anytime soon. I made a post on social media today, and I don't know if you can pull it up, but I said on my Facebook page, actually, I posted it at 3 o'clock in the morning, and it's not hit any algorithms yet. But one of the things I said was, in my generation, crack cocaine was at the helm of destruction in my community. And this generation, misinformation and easily debunked conspiracy theories is at the helm of this generation's destruction.
They thrive.
It's frightening how much misinformation, for as much information as available, it's literally frightening how much misinformation people have, will pass on, will share. And I'm not even talking about research. I'm talking about Googling to get right information.
We become a copy and paste generation instead of looking up actual facts, figures, or history.
Hence my statement, easily debunked. That's why I put easily debunked in that post, because we're not talking, you've got to be a rocket scientist to debunk this stuff. I cannot tell you how many times I have inboxed an individual during this election cycle and said, this is the actual video. If you'd like to view it, it's only 2 minutes. What they did was they took something totally out of context and they spliced it together with something that didn't even take place in that particular conversation.
Yes.
And I just saw it so many times that I thought, my brothers and sisters, this is not the way forward for you. This is not how you grow. This is not how you accomplish the things that you really are capable of accomplishing. It's like a rabbit hole. It's a dark tunnel. And once you start going down this dark tunnel, I believe that it just takes over your mind. And I'm not saying that there's no help. You can always be better and you can always get better, but it's like an illness, really. It's like an illness. And then you add somebody like Russia to the equation, who's giving people what? They were giving people $100 to post and share a video. They were giving them $100 per video. Yeah. And then you've got the world's richest man who shares a video that's fake, and it's viewed 2 billion times on the platform that he owns.
And that's a fact, because they said that he had over 200 posts that were incorrect. And also, if you would have took the advertising of the information that he sent and put a number to it, it was over $2 million.
Maybe more. Yeah.
Or maybe more.
Yeah. It's just unbelievable. But when it's all said and done, who's going to be most affected by things that happen? You know, when you look at COVID and you look at the disparaging numbers compared to people of color and non-people of color, there were some blatant discrepancies there as it relates to who was affected most. I wouldn't say discrepancies. I would say the numbers were we were very much impacted by COVID. Not to say that all people weren't, but when you look at, let's talk African-Americans in particular, we were dying at a ratio that wasn't even close, and we're only, what, 13% of the population.
Mm-hmm. And even to take that even further, you look at the women and deaths giving birth right now, those numbers are ridiculous.
I'm sorry, say that again?
I said the number of deaths of women giving birth.
Childbirth, yeah.
Childbirth.
Yeah.
In the United States are ridiculous.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always been higher for women of color.
John, let me again. I tried to avoid listening to too much Monday morning quarterback in the last couple of days, and I've been thinking about this. Is it, you know, you hear like North Carolina, Pennsylvania saying we tried to tell the campaign, they weren't hearing enough. Is it the Democratic message didn't get out, or is it the message is out and the majority of people just rejected it?
I think it's both. I think it's a little bit of both. I think that I would say that the Democratic Party did not do as good of a job as stating some of the things that they had actually done. I'll give you an example of that. So if you didn't know any better, you would think that the border was under control when the former president was the president for 4 years, if you didn't know any better.
Correct.
And the border, actually, the entire 4 years that he was president, it was this.
Yes.
The entire time, record numbers, right? Mm-hmm. If you didn't know any better, you would think that the former president's administration was against the transgender sex stuff, prison inmates. However, the entire 4 years, those rules, laws, they all stayed in place. There was nothing that they ever even attempted to do anything about it. The former president, when he ran in 2012 or which one of those years that he can't, oh, no, 2016.
16.
When he ran in 2016, he ran on the notion that the country was in horrible shape. Obama had done a terrible job, and he was going to get us out of this mess. That was his message. He stayed on message. Of course, he beat Hillary, when the fact of the matter is he inherited the best economy of any incoming president in modern history.
And that's a fact.
But he campaigned on the fact that the economy was horrible, that he was going to turn things around, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So one thing I give to the Republican Party is that they pick a message and they stay on that message. And it doesn't have to be true. It's not, we're not talking about lie or truth, but we're talking about them staying on message. And so when they get something and they see that it's working a little bit, then they stay on message. The Democratic Party, I think that they sometimes don't do a good job of sharing the successes and the things that they have done, or they do it too late. And so when you come into a campaign and you got 100 days, I think personally that's a phenomenal operation actually in 100 days. But I think if you add that and you add the other things to the equation, I would say that there is a little bit of truth to both. Some people are just not going to vote for a woman. They're just not going to, they're just not going to do it. And they're definitely not going to vote for a Black woman. Now, will it happen someday? Perhaps. Will I be around? That remains to be seen. I don't know if I'll be around to see it. But I do believe that the one Black guy who was elected twice, I believe that was a bridge too far. And that's what I said to many people over the years. And I said it, as I mentioned in the conversation that I had at my cousin's. Yeah, sorry about the long answer.
Oh, no problem.
No.
But I think it's a little bit of, I think it's a little bit of both.
I think, you know, we need to have this discussion with clarity and slow and break things down. So thank you for your answer. John, you know, the thing right now, what do you say to people? Because I've talked to a lot of people, whether work or where. Now everybody is scared and they don't know basically how to act. What do you think about the next 4 years and where we should go, or some of the things we can expect?
I think it's extreme. I think for many people, they're gonna have some challenges. I think it's gonna be tough. When you have the majority of the people who served from 2016 to 2020, who served with the former president, who come out and say, this man is not fit for the office of presidency. When you've got the most conservative Republicans in America campaigning for a Democrat, when you've got generals and highly respected former military officials now retired who saying, I wouldn't trust this guy as far as I could throw him. When you got multiple accounts of somebody saying he said this about our servicemen and how he feels about servicemen who were caught, most of these people are Republicans. So if they're saying it and you still believe that somehow everybody is lying.
Wow.
Or you have something like what happened on January 6th. And it is, I don't think anybody's proven that the opposite happened, that you do nothing sitting in front of a TV for hours. The story's been corroborated many times over from everybody who worked in the administration who were Republican, that this is what happened. And you still vote for them. I think it's fair to say that there are going to be problems in some way over the next 4 years for many people. Now, I will say this. Maybe because there's been this stock windfall that I think the president, or I don't know if he does it, maybe if he does it prior to January 20th, but there's a stock windfall from the media company that people purchase stocks for. So maybe his money woes are no longer. And maybe I think sometimes money woes causes people who may be willing to do whatever for money, it causes them to do some things that where they that some people would sell their mama if it meant that they could get out of a money situation. And maybe since the, maybe that's not the president, former president's case, maybe there would be some inclination to do things decent and in order. But I'll say this. I also said on my Facebook page a few days ago, Pastor Charles Poole, may he rest in peace. He said something to me around 1993. He said, you can't keep a good man down and you can't keep a bad man up. He said, a good man, you can't keep him down no matter what you do, but he's going to rise. He said, a bad man, no matter what you're going to do, he's going to fall.
Wow. Yeah. Well, Mr. John Covington, listen, we got to get you back on. I can't believe that it's it is 3 o'clock already. Thank you, sir. You, love you, bro.
Love you, brothers. Appreciate you so much. Thank you for having me.
All right, brother.
I'm sorry I cut him off. Listen, the show went that fast. You know, Melvin, we got a lot that we could say. But the next 4 years, I think people are going to get a civics lesson on this show about how government truly runs.
Yeah, I think John said it right. You know, somebody was asking me this morning. I was short. I said, you know, when you take everything away, I look at the person, you know, parties aside, I look at the person, and that tells you kind of how they're going to perform. All those other people didn't lie before. Is he different? Is he going to be different? We'll see. Some people are giving dire forecasts. All we can do is wait and see. So people stay encouraged. There's still a whole lot of life that we got to live and get through besides what happens in Washington, D.C.
Lastly, let me say to those people, those young voters, those first-time voters that are just hurt and disenfranchised right now. This is the United States. Things happen, but stay involved.
Yes.
We're going to need you to be more involved right now. I know you're hurt. I've been there. I've had to pick up those losing campaign signs on rainy days. Stay involved, change the community, whether it's the school board. Matter of fact, an incumbent school board member lost the race. Listen, but a new person came in. Get involved in politics. Know what this country is all about. Start small. Start with your local government. Listen, that's Turn the Two with Pastor Melvin Burns and Gregory T. Roberts. Go sow a seed in somebody's life. Bless somebody. Take care. God bless. We'll see you next week.